Glad he came to me at the age of 6 years old. And I'm glad he came to you. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving, compassionate God we serve. It's good to have Brother Chris Dallas with us tonight. And like I said, know of him through Brother Wido, and he had an open date tonight, an open service, and just want you to hear him, and I believe he'll be a real blessing to you. Come on, Brother Dallas, preach to us.
Thank you, Brother Crawford. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this evening to John chapter number 8. John in chapter number 8. It is good to be here at the Heritage Baptist Church this evening. What a joy it is to be able to. My wife and I, when we got out of the vehicle, we were just amazed at the outside of the building, but walked inside, and it's even more tremendous as you walk inside. And I'm glad to see the Lord still doing a work, amen. And I appreciate Brother Crawford allowing me to be able to come. And I just met him yesterday, and I was in a preacher's meeting there at Brother Ogden's, like he said. And my wife and I were actually supposed to fly out of Memphis tomorrow and go on vacation to Disney World and suffer for Jesus, but we're not going to be able to do that now. I've been having some inner ear trouble, and I have to get to the doctor tomorrow over in Houston, but you pray for us on that. Not going to say much about the CD table out there in the front of the foyer, but do have CDs out there, and have a CD of the month club, have my life story on there that we'll be talking a little bit about tonight in this message. Everything we make on the table, we put right back in the ministry. Our home is a 40-foot motor home that we travel across the country, and Lord's just blessed on that. We may talk about some of those things that this evening. But if you found your place there in John chapter number 8, I want to get right into the message. Again, Brother Crawford, thank you for allowing me to be able to be here tonight. If you found your place, let's just all stand, just stretch out one more time, and get it right into the Word of God. I've got my wife's watch up here, amen, so I hope this works. I'm gonna try to get us out here next 2 or 3 hours, if that's okay. Amen. No, I'm not going to keep you that long. But John chapter number 8, let's look at verse number 28 tonight. John in chapter number 8, let's look at verse number 28. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." Look at this next statement. "For I do always those things that please Him." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the good singing, Lord, that's already stirred our hearts tonight. Dear God, thank You, Lord, for this crowd, Lord, that You've given us, Lord, to be able to open up the Word of God. And Lord, I understand that there's not a person under the sound of my voice, Lord, that came to hear from Chris Dallas tonight, but Lord, they came to hear from heaven. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would be able to do so tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You speak through me. Lord, allow me not to say anything more or anything less than what You'd have us to say. And Lord, if there is one that would be lost here tonight, Lord, we pray that You'd save them. And Lord, we'll thank You for all that You do. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll find that this was the Lord Jesus Christ that He was speaking here. And He said that I do always those things that please Him. He was talking about He pleases the Father. He was not being conceited. He was not being boastful. It was even said of God the Father about God the Son. He said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And Lord Jesus Christ said, "For I do always those things that please Him." Not just sometimes, not just when it was convenient, but He said, "I do always those things that please Him." What a thought, what a testimony. This one man lived such a different life than anyone else ever has, that every single action done in the flesh pleased God the Father. Every morning when he got out of bed, he pleased God. His relationship, young people, with his parents, his siblings, in others in the community. It all pleased God. His ministry included the teaching and the preaching and all the healing and every miracle that he ever performed. Every bit of it pleased God. That word please means to excite agreeable sensations or emotions in. It means to satisfy or to prefer, to like or to choose. And we understand tonight, church, that Christ was able to always do those things which please God because he was God the flesh. And not bring a negative sense to the message tonight, but we all understand that you and I will never be able to always do those things which please God. But it sure would be a good goal to shoot for in our lives, wouldn't it? You understand tonight, there's none of us that want to be on anyone's bad side. If you're a child here tonight, you want to be pleasing to your parents, so hopefully you do so. If you're a student here tonight, you want to be pleasing to your teacher. If you're an employee, you want to be pleasing to your employer. None of us want to be on anyone's bad side. But it's sad to say that many of us, including this preacher right here, many of us will spend our entire lives trying to please others and never give a second thought to pleasing the great God of heaven. I came across a statement over a couple of months ago, and that statement has stuck with me. And many times, woken up in the middle of the night and just thought about this statement and began to cry. And I understand, I promise you tonight that I don't even touch the hem of the garment when it comes to this statement, but the first part of it is so very true. That statement goes like this. I am so satisfied with Christ that my only desire in life is that Christ be satisfied with me. You understand tonight, before any of us met the lovely Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we had an empty void that we try to fill in our lives. And I don't know your story, but I can tell you my story. I try to fill that empty void with drugs and rock and roll and godless living. And I just came up empty each and every time in my life. But over 13 years ago, when I met the lovely Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, hey, can I say that empty void was filled, and I've been satisfied since that very day, amen? I'm so satisfied with Christ that my only desire in life is that Christ be satisfied with me. I want to speak to us just for the next few minutes on how to be pleasing to God. I wanted tonight just us lifting our hands tonight, who would say, Brother Chris, I believe that God is worthy to be pleased, amen. How many of us would slip our hands up tonight? And saying that, let's preach this message tonight on how to be pleasing to God. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn it to the book of Romans in chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8. Let's look at verse number 7. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed it can be. Look at verse number 8 with me. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can I say first of all tonight, church, if you or I are going to be pleasing to God tonight, first of all, every day of our lives, we're going to have to find out what it is to purge the flesh. Amen? We're going to have to find out what it is to purge the flesh. The word purge means to cleanse or purify by separating or carrying off that which is impure. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look at verse number 18 with me tonight. Romans chapter number 7, verse number 18. It means to cleanse or purify. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, the Bible says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. The Bible clearly says there's nothing good about our flesh, the real us. And it just makes clear sense tonight, if there's nothing good about our flesh, the real you and I, that it makes sense that we should not want it any part of our lives, amen? You understand tonight, church, it makes no difference of what our stature is or what our ability is or what our talent is. Hey, our flesh will always destroy us, amen? First of all, tonight I noticed the viciousness of the flesh. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And can I just say this? Our flesh is vicious tonight. Can I make this statement? That you and I, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, you or I, even though we're saved by the good grace of God, if we're functioning and we're living in the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit of God, if we're being led by our flesh, every single one of us are capable of committing the most heinous crime of the one that is sitting in the Texas State Prison is tonight. Every single one of us in the flesh is capable of doing that. Our flesh is very vicious. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17. The Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You understand? There's a war going on inside each and every one of us that are saved tonight. It's a battle between the old nature of the old man and the new man tonight. You understand, I got saved as a 22-year-old man. I'm 35 years old. But that 22-year-old beard-guzzling, carousing with the heathen person is still just as much alive as he was as the 13-year-old man that's saved by the good grace of God. And I cannot feed upon carnal things or feed on things out of the world. I must feed on the Word of God and feed on things out of God if I'm ever going to be led by the Spirit instead of by my flesh, amen. There's two natures that beat within our breast. The one is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. But the one I feed will surely dominate. I don't want to feed to that old man that was headed to a place called hell. I want to feed to the new man that's been saved by the grace of God. And I cannot do that by feeding upon things out of the world. I must feed upon the things of God, amen. You understand, the flesh does not fight fair. There are no rules of engagement or the Geneva Convention when it comes to fighting the flesh. That is what you and I struggle with sin in our lives is because of the flesh. My friend, if you commit sin in your life, don't be so quick to blame it on the devil. No, it wasn't the devil's fault that we committed sin. It's because we gave into the flesh and we were not led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Yes, you may have gotten saved and received a new nature, but the old you and I are still inside and still crave the things he used to. And the flesh's ultimate goal is to destroy and to kill, and it will continue to fight until the day that we die. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. I notice, first of all, that the flesh is vicious. But thank God tonight, even though the flesh is vicious, thank God you and I, as the same child of God, can have victory over the flesh tonight, amen. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's impossible to fulfill the lust of the flesh if we're walking in the Spirit of God. You understand tonight, church, that the Holy Spirit has two works that he does. He either convicts of sin or he fills a person with his power. He cannot do both of them at the same time. He's either busy convicting you of your sin or he's busy filling you with his Spirit. I like to be on the latter end of that statement, my friend, and be filled with the Spirit of God. But I cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We must make the Holy Spirit of God every day a common part of our lives. From the moment that we open our eyes to the moment that we pillow our heads at night, we must find out what it is to walk in the Spirit. When we find ourselves in sin and doing those things that are against God, rest assured we're not walking in the Spirit of God. And also rest assured that we're not being pleasing to God. Walking in the Spirit is work, amen. It doesn't just naturally happen. We must get in the book, get on our knees, and get involved in what God wants to do in our lives. And we must find out what it is to die to our flesh and purge our flesh every day of our lives and walk in the good Spirit of the Lord. First of all, tonight, in order to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to find out where it is to purge the flesh. Second of all, tonight, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, let's look at a very familiar verse here, verse number 6. First of all, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to purge the flesh. Second of all, if we're going to be pleasing to God, look at verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not only if we're going to be pleasing to God, not only are we going to have to purge the flesh, but second of all, if we're going to be pleasing to God, and I believe and you believe tonight, He's worthy to be pleased. Second of all, we're going to have to find out what it is to practice faith in our lives. Amen. Practice faith. The Bible clearly says it's impossible to please God without faith. So, Brother Chris, what exactly is faith? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. Look at verse number 1 of the same chapter. Bible says in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like these definitions of faith as well. Number 1, faith is the heart seeing what the eye cannot. Second of all, faith is me believing in something that I cannot see. Number 3, faith only happens when I realize I can't do it, but it must be God, amen? I like this fourth statement. Faith is me believing that the Bible is the very Word of God and obeying everything that it says and trusting that it is pure, holy, and right. Faith. We understand that the most supernatural prayer that God ever answers in any of our lives was the day that we trusted Christ as our Savior. And the same God that was able to answer that supernatural prayer in our lives is the same God that can answer the prayers of the needs of His children in this journey called the Christian life. But we're going to have to practice faith in order to be pleasing to God. I'll never forget the first time I trusted, put faith in God. It was the day that I got saved over 13 years ago. Up until I was about 10 years old, I lived in a little town called Monroe, Louisiana. And I had a pretty God-fearing family from what I can remember back in that time. And had a mom and dad that loved God and went to church every time the doors were open. My dad even drove a church bus, pick up kids. But I had an older sister that was 4 years older than I was at that time. She still is 4 years older than I am. And she began to become very rebellious and began to hang out with the wrong crowd and began to do things that she wasn't taught to do. Things got so unruly and so uncontrollable with my older sister that my mom and dad made the arrangements to take her to a girls' home in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, called the Lighthouse Children's Home. And I remember that day that my mom and dad, my two sisters and myself, made the journey there from Monroe, Louisiana to Kosciuszko, and we were in the vehicle. We turned up that old dirt road. That old dirt road seemed about 5 or 6 miles long. Went up to the administrative office, and my mom and dad took my older sister up there to the administrative office, and my other sister and I sat there in the car, and it seemed like an hour they were there. More or less, they were just signing my sister the authority over to the Lighthouse Children's Home. And I remember my mom and dad came back out without my sister, and we got in the car, and we began to head down that old dirt road again, and about halfway down that old dirt road, I remember my dad pulled the car over and put it in park. And for the first time in my life, I began to see my dad cry. And I remember making myself a promise there that day that I would never hurt my mom and dad the way that my sister had hurt them. And they would never have to cry over me the way they had to cry over my sister. And I kept that promise in my life for some time, but I remember a few weeks after that incident, after my mom and dad took my sister to the girls' home, my dad came home and he told us that the company that he was working for was transferring him from Monroe, Louisiana to Memphis, Tennessee. So we packed up all our belongings a couple weeks later and moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And there was something different in our family's life than it was when we were in Monroe. Oh, we got a new house and we got everything settled in the house, but the one thing that was different was we never found a church home. If there's any of you here to understand my voice tonight, that you were ever in church for a period of time and you fell out, you know exactly what happens. Satan gets a stronghold on a family's life, and it's just a domino effect of how many folks just drop by the wayside. And our family was definitely that case. I continue to keep that promise in my life that I would never hurt my mom and dad, and they would never have to cry over me like they did my sister for a few years of my life. But at 13 years old, I began to play on the junior high football team and began to hang out with fellas that I normally wouldn't hang out with. And they were smoking cigarettes, and I started smoking cigarettes. They would sneak their parents' liquor bottle, and even though my parents didn't drink, I would begin to drink with them and even started smoking pot. And at 14 years old, my mom and dad had gotten word what I was involved in. And I found myself in a drug rehab called Parkwood Hospital in Olive Branch, Mississippi. And I remember sitting in a room there that day, a little office area there with my mom and my dad. And there was a psychiatrist sitting there in the room. And the psychiatrist began to tell my mom and dad how I would have to go to AA meetings and get up and say, my name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic. And with tears streaming down my mom's face, obviously, I'd seen her cry many times before. But it was the second time in my life where I saw my dad cry. My dad looked at me and said, Chris, he said, if you promise us that you'll quit hanging out with this crowd you're hanging out with, and you promise us that you'll quit doing the things you've been doing, he said, we'll let you come back home. But if you can't promise us that, then you're going to have to stay here. And as a rebellious 14-year-old punk, I looked at my dad and I said, I hate your guts, and I never want to see you again. That was 2 weeks before Christmas that year, and I remember when Christmas Day rolled around, probably sitting in a room just a little smaller than this, and there was glass all the way around the room, and I was sitting in that room with about 50 or 60 other drug-addicted teenagers. And I began to see their moms and dads come on Christmas morning and bring presents under their arms for their kids on that Christmas morning. And I said to myself, there's no way in the world that my mom and dad are going to come and visit me after the way that I talked to them just 2 weeks before. Before that thought even entered my mind, my mom and dad were walking down the same hallway with presents on their arms. And I sat there that day and I began to make promise after promise after promise that I'd quit hanging out with the crowd I was hanging out with and I'd quit doing the things I've been doing. But you understand, I was expecting supernatural results with just natural efforts. There wasn't a difference in here. And from the time I was 14 years old to the time I was 22, I went through 5 drug rehabs and in and out of jail. On many occasions, Thanksgiving and on Christmas, this time of year, it reminds me of those things very vividly. But many times on Thanksgiving and on Christmas, my mom and dad would leave the comfort of their home and leave the other family members there while they would come to some smoke-filled AA room and watch their son get up and say, my name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic. At 22 years old, I'd gotten word that my mom and dad were going on a weekend vacation to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And as soon as they left town, I went to their house and broke in their house and got everything that I could get my hands on in order to pawn and get some money to feed the drug habit that I had in my life. Monday morning came rolling around and the dope was gone, the money was gone, the gas out of the car was gone. And I pulled back up to my mom and dad's house and acted like nothing had happened. My dad met me out in the driveway and he said, Chris, he said, we're not going to call the cops on you. He said, we're not going to pack your bags and take you back to rehab. He said, as far as your mom and I are concerned, he said, you're no longer welcome here. And he said, we've already signed the restraining order where you can't even come within 100 yards of the house. Got my car there that day, didn't have any gas, didn't have any money. But one thing I thought I had, young people, I thought I had some friends. And I began to go to their house, one after the other, and knock on their door. I began to ask them, could I have a place to stay for a night or two? And basically all they want to know is, how much dope do you have and how much money do you have? Young people, if there's anything you listen to me tonight, you listen to this right here. That crowd out there that tries to get you to do against what your mom and dad try to instill in your life, and the man of God tries to preach to you, hey, they're not your real friends. Your real friends are that mom and daddy and that man of God that loves you enough to preach, thus says the Lord. Amen. Those are your real friends. And I came to the quick realization there that day that the ones I was treating like my worst enemies were in reality my best friends, my mom and daddy. Got in my car there that day and began to head down I-55 south. Didn't have any gas, didn't have any money. And I was able to coast into a rest area about a mile south of Hernando, Mississippi, where I lived there in my car for about a couple of weeks. My mom would leave Memphis, Tennessee every night. And she would drive to that little rest area there in Hernando, about an hour's drive, and she would pick me up. And she would take me to the little town of Hernando and get a bite to eat. And after we get through eating, she'd take me back to the rest area there where my car was just out of gas. And tears streaming down her face and tears streaming down mine. I said, Mom, please let me come back home. I promise you that I'll quit hanging out with the crowd I'm hanging out with. I promise you that I'll quit doing the things I've been doing if you just let me come back home. And she said, Chris, she said, we've been hearing those promises for all these years. And until we see a difference in your life, you're not coming back home. One night she came to pick me up. And when she did, she just drove past the little town of Hernando and just kept on driving out to the suburb of Memphis, Tennessee, called Bartlett, Tennessee. Little did I know, she made the arrangements for me to be able to live in a halfway house for dope addicts and alcoholics. Got out of the car there that night, and all I had in my belongings was just a few clothes and an old garbage bag. My mom said, Chris, she said, you're not going to hear from your dad and I for some time. She said, because we've been getting harassing phone calls from drug dealers that you owe money to, and we've had to change your phone number. You're not going to hear from your dad now for some time. And sure enough, I didn't hear from my mom and dad for over 6 months. And on one particular, in order to live there in the halfway house, I had to go to AA meetings every night. And on one particular Sunday night, I was walking out of the halfway house, headed to an AA meeting. The phone rang. And when I went and answered the phone, it was the sweetest voice I'd heard in some time. It was my mama. And she said, Chris, she said, your sisters and I have found a church we've been going to, and we'd like for you to come out tonight. And I'll be honest with you tonight, church, I immediately agree to go, not to hear about God, not to learn about the Lord. I simply agree to go there that night just so I could manipulate my mom and dad one more time to let me come back home. But you understand, tonight when I walked to that church house, there was somebody there more powerful than Chris Dallas. There was somebody there more powerful than the alcohol I was consuming and the drugs I was using. And his name was the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And that night there was a man that came by beside me at invitation time, and he whispered these words in my ear. He said, you don't know who I am. He said, but I've been praying for you. And when he said those words, this old cold, stony heart began to melt. And he was able to take a Bible and take me on a journey called the Romans Road. And can I say that night, I bowed my head and I asked God to save my soul. And my life has never been the same. Now I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I put my faith in him. My friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, your testimony may not be like my testimony, but if you're saved, you have a testimony tonight. And the most supernatural prayer that God ever answers in any of our lives was the day that we put our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same great big God of heaven that was able to answer that prayer is the same God that can answer the prayer that comes in this journey called the Christian life. You have a sick one in the hospital tonight, and the doctors are saying the results, and the results are not sounding good. Hey, can I say there's a greater doctor than that doctor, and his name's a great physician. His name's the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say God may heal him, he may not heal him. Hey, but can I say we're just to go to God in faith, trusting that he's going to answer that prayer. You have financial needs tonight. The same God that saved you is the same God that can pay those bills that you have that are unpaid tonight. Hey, we're just going to have to practice faith if we're going to be pleasing to God. First of all, tonight, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to find out what it is to purge the flesh. Second of all, we're going to have to practice faith. And lastly, tonight, I finish. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians in chapter number 1. So satisfied with Christ that my only desire in life is that Christ be satisfied with me. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10 with me this evening. The Bible says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to take that statement there, being fruitful. My friend, if we're going to be pleasing to God, not only are we going to have to purge the flesh, not only are we going to have to practice faith, but the greatest way that you and I, as a saved child of God tonight, can be pleasing to God is to produce fruit in our lives. To produce fruit in our lives. The whole purpose that Christ left us on this earth was to tell others about Him and that He's the only way to heaven. Amen? He told us to occupy till I come. Hey, you understand the greatest thing that God has for our lives is not to fill up big bank accounts or drive fancy cars or live in a nice house or to strive to be as smart as we can be. And those things in themselves are not bad things, but the main purpose that God has, are you listening to me, church? The main purpose that God has for my life and the main purpose that God has for every saved child of God's life is to tell a lost and dying world about His saving grace. My friend, just because we have our fire insurance and our feet will never touch hell, hey, doesn't mean that there's still a lost and dying world out there that will go to a place called hell unless we give them the gospel. You say, well, Brother Chris, I'm just one person and I'll never make a difference. The gospel made a difference in your life, my friend, and it'll make a difference in somebody else's life. You've all heard the illustration about the husband and wife that lied in bed one night and lived in a beach house. There was a storm brewing across the beach line there, and the husband tried to get out of bed, and the wife just urged him just to stay in bed and find out all the damage that the storm caused the next day. So the next morning, the man got up out of bed and began to walk across the beach line there and looked up there at his house and seeing all kind of shingles that were missing from his roof, and began to see all the swayed over palm trees and just debris all in his yard. But to his amazement, all across the beach line there, he saw thousands upon thousands of starfish. He looked out there in the distance there, and there was a young boy. About every 10 seconds, he would reach down and pick up one of those starfish and throw it back in the ocean. A few seconds later, he'd pick up one of those starfish and throw it in the ocean. The man finally got up to the young boy, and he said, son, he said, what are you doing? And the young boy said, well, he said, I'm just trying to save these starfish's life. The man said, well, son, he said, don't you realize that there's thousands upon thousands of starfish all across this beach line? He said, you'll never make a difference. That boy just reached down and picked up one of those starfish and threw it in the ocean. He said it sure didn't make a difference in that one's life, amen. Can I say, my friend, I made my mind up a long time ago, Brother Crawford. Hey, I may not win the entire world to the Lord. Hey, but I'm just going to keep on giving the gospel. And I'm just going to keep on giving the gospel. And I'm just going to keep on giving the gospel. And it'll make a difference in somebody's life, amen. Saved child of God, when's the last time you took out a Bible tract and invited somebody to Heritage Baptist Church? Has it been a long time? Have you never done it? Hey, somebody had compassion on you to give you the gospel. It's our responsibility to have compassion on others. I'll end with this. How many of you ever heard of Brother Jack Hiles? Brother Hiles was a great man of God. Years gone by, Brother Hiles had gotten word that his former pastor that mentored him, somewhere here in Texas, I believe, mentored him and was getting Alzheimer's and he was losing his mind. So Brother Hiles made the arrangements to fly from Indiana back to Texas to visit his former pastor and so he could spend some time with him before he completely lost his mind or before he went home to be with the Lord. So Brother Howes got to the church here that day, and he walked into the church office, and it was a former pastor and the pastor's son sitting there in the office. And Brother Howes began to reminisce about the past. He began to ask him questions about when he was there in the ministry and began to ask him questions about when he married he and his wife and all these things. And the former pastor just looked at him dumbfounded and couldn't remember anything that Brother Howes was talking about. He began to say, well, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Do you remember when all this took place? And the former pastor couldn't remember anything. Finally, a few minutes later, the former pastor stood up and he said, Brother Howes, would you please excuse me? I need to go to the restroom. Brother Howes stood up and excused that great man of God to the restroom. 10 or 15 minutes passed by, and Brother Howes knew that he was on a tight schedule. The former pastor never did come back to the office and knew that he was on a tight schedule, and he wanted to get back to the airport so he could fly back to Indiana, be at his home church the next day. So Brother Howes began to go and look for that former pastor, and he began to trail him, began to walk behind him. Former pastor had been pastor of the church for over 35 years of his life. He began to open up the door to the fellowship hall, and he said, no, that's not the restroom. Opened up a door to a Sunday school class. He said, no, that's not the restroom. He began to open up door after door after door. Couldn't even find himself to the restroom. Been pastoring the church for over 35 years. Tears began to stream down Brother Howes' face, and he began to ask God, how in the world could you allow this to happen to such a great man of God? The former pastor's son told Brother Howes to come back in the office. His dad would be back in a few minutes. A few minutes passed, the former pastor never did show up again. So Brother Howes began to go look for him once again, and Brother Howes opened up a door to the fellowship hall and looked inside and said, no, he's not in there. Opened up a door to a Sunday school class and said, no, he's not in there. Began to open up door after door, and finally Brother Howes went to the very front of the church, and there was glass doors there. Brother Howes opened up one of those glass doors and saw his former pastor outside talking to a young teenage boy. And that former pastor told that young teenage boy, he said, no, son. He said, all you've got to do is just bow your head and call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you right here, right now. That young teenage boy bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul, and he walked off. And Brother Howes went over to that former pastor with tears streaming down his face. He said, pastor. He said, preacher. He said, how in the world just a few minutes ago I was following you, and you couldn't even find your way to the restroom. But you were just able to lead that young man to the Lord. He said, Brother Howes, he said, I may not be able to find my way to the restroom. Hey, but I'll never forget my way to heaven. Amen. And can I say tonight, hey, quit using the excuse of how much Bible you know or how much scripture you know. Hey, just tell folks what happened to you. And let's win this community to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, my friend, but I want to be pleasing to God. I believe he's worthy to be pleased. How many of you would admit with me the same that I did tonight? The day that you got saved, you've been satisfied since that very day. Would lift up your hands tonight and just show me. He satisfied me, amen. I believe he's worthy to be pleased. We're going to have to find out what it is to purge the flesh every day of our life. Die to ourselves, our wants, our ambitions, and find out what God's goals and ambitions is for our life and purge our flesh. We're going to have to practice faith. You did practice faith the day that you received Christ as your Savior. And the same God that was able to answer that supernatural prayer of faith is the same God that can answer the needs in our lives. And lastly, if we're ever going to be pleasing to God, we're going to have to find out what it is to produce fruit in our lives. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to preach to these dear folks here at Heritage Baptist Church. Dear God, I pray above anything tonight more than preaching a good message. Lord, getting a pat on the back or a handshake at the end of the service, Lord, I pray more than anything, Lord, that you are honored and glorified. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just do something here tonight, work in our lives, Lord, at this invitation time. Thank you, Brother Crawford.
Man, let's all stand, turn to hymn 167. Just as I am, Lord, spoken to your heart tonight, you come. All of us, there's not one of us tonight wouldn't walk away saying, I want to please the Lord. And boy, those 3 points ring out true tonight. Please Him. You want to please Him tonight. As we sing.
Just as I am without one, please.